This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's talk to Rick Tocchet, Flyers' new head coach. Rick Tocchet, of course, got the job 2 weeks ago. It's a homecoming for him. And, I mean, I'm super psyched to have Rick Tocchet as the Flyers head coach. First time he joins us since getting the job, and what a job it is. Rick Tocchet with us here on WIP. Good morning, Rick.
How are you guys? I don't mind talking Eagles.
Let's do it. Rick, what'd you make of that Super Bowl? Well, how about that?
I mean, it was a beatdown. Like, I mean, all year, just from afar watching the Eagles, just the way they progressed, it was just like a slow, like a juggernaut. I mean, and just obviously dismantling the Chiefs, obviously with Mahomes. You know, he obviously, you know, an incredible quarterback. I didn't think it was to be that big of a blowout, but it was incredible to watch.
It was something to behold. It really was. Rick, the Philadelphia thing. I mean, talking right there about the Eagles and watching the Super Bowl a couple months ago. Has that Philadelphia thing stayed with you? You know, this whole time, really, since the early 80s, mid-80s?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been gone quite a bit. Other organizations learned a lot, you know, as a player and a coach when you're away from this area. But coming back, it's just so easy coming back, right? And it brings back memories back in the day playing for the Flyers and, you know, being friends with guys like Barkley and Schmidt and these guys, icons in the city, and the way the fans gravitate towards their sports team. There's not many cities like Philadelphia. You know, we got a lot of work to do. You know, I think we know that, you know, we're on the back page right now, and we got to start getting people to believe in the Flyers again. And, you know, I just want to be a part of it and a solution. And, you know, we got a lot of work, but I'm really excited about being back in the area.
Good. Well, Rick, a lot of people are very excited to have you here. So, of course, congratulations. What have the first 2 weeks been like for you? I mean, you can't coach a game yet, but you're in there. You're getting stuff done. You're talking to dudes. What's the first couple weeks been like for you?
Well, you know, obviously the game plan Jonesy and Danny got, Dan Hilferty really sold me on their game plan. You know, they got a ton of picks this draft, next year's draft. A lot of cap space next year, the year after. So there's some tools to work with. Obviously, the players here, you know, I like the winger pool a lot. I mean, you know, I know that there's some big defense I like there. Obviously, Sanheim is really, really progressive. I had him in Four Nations. I was assistant coach for Canada. Really impressed the way he played in that with those type of players in Konechny. I mean, you're talking about the star players. Representing the crest, Flyers crest. So there's some tools here. And like I said, you know, not a lot of people believe in this team for next year, obviously, because they think, you know, the roster isn't that good. I disagree. I think there's a hard-working team. You know, we're excited of progressing here.
Yeah, you mentioned maybe a lot of people currently don't believe in the team, but you know what it's like in this city when the Flyers are on the front page and not the back page, as you put it. You went to those Stanley Cups. You were with winning Flyers teams. I think the thing all Flyers fans feel is, like, how far away do you think this team can – or how far away is the team from getting back to what we all love, which is that Flyers hockey and back to winning?
Yeah, I think, first of all, my job is to create an identity. You know, who are the Flyers? You know, how do we play? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, tough place to play when you come play us in our building. Things like that, that back in the day the Flyers were always known for. And obviously develop players. I mean, you know, I'm putting a staff together as we speak, assistant coaches, where the players come into the rink and I know it's the most, I hate using the word, I got to think of another word, but it's a process that I know I hate it. I mean, I've been actually trying to think of a new word other than process. But, you know, where players come in and they know that with the facility we have, with the knowledge we have and with their buy-in, they can, you know, they can have a better sense of maximizing their talent, and then obviously becoming a team. And that's my job, and that's what I'm going to be judged on. So I welcome that kind of challenge. So to answer your question, when we're, I don't know. I mean, we could be good this year. I don't know. I just think that the identity, where we're going, every day we got to work towards that.
So, Rick, here, and Rick Tocchet with us on WIP, here's something you may or may not know as a sports fan over the last couple of years. So Nick Sirianni in year one didn't use the word process, or at least not in a way I remember, but he used a flower analogy. And City didn't like that. Team wasn't playing very well at that moment. And he was talking about blooming. You know, essentially it takes time to bloom.
Sure.
And then he switched to year two to a mountain analogy because he realized, all right, flower doesn't work in Philly, so let's scale a mountain. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, maybe you can figure out an analogy that works of some sort. Rick, how good do you think Mishkov can become? I mean, when he joined the big club last year, it was probably the most exciting prospect to join the big club, probably since Lindros. How good can he become?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talent there. You know, talking to Jonesy and Danny, I don't know the kid that well. I will get to know him. He loves the way Kucherov. He wants to be. That's his kind of his hero, Kucherov. If he can somehow, in the way he handles the puck, the way he can see the game. He can see the game before anybody sees the play, which is Kucherov-ish like. That's a pretty good goal to have because I think Kucherov's one of the. It could be. He is a top three player. I don't want to put pressure on the kid, but if he can somehow, and you got to remember, Kucherov, I think, had like 30 points his first year, and Mishkov here, what, he have 60 something points his first year. So, like I said, I don't want to put pressure on him, but that's a goal. The way Kucherov plays, I think I see a little bit there with the skills, the puck skills, and his hockey brain, offensive hockey brain. So I see that kind of comparison.
You know, we know you so well as a player, and obviously you've coached in the NHL, but not here in Philadelphia. As a coach, when you try to build the Flyers, right, do you look around the league? I mean, you look at Florida, they've been to three straight Stanley Cups, yeah. They're back in it this year. As you try to build the Flyers, do you build them in, okay, this is how I want them to play, or do you look at teams around the league and say, this is who we need to beat, and here's how we beat them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think in hockey, I love the other sports, but hockey is a little bit of a copycat league. So if you look at the Florida Panthers, you know, they've gone to the final. It'll be the third time they've gone to the finals. Obviously, so teams are looking, what are they doing? And if you look at their team, tough team to play against, they made a bold trade to get Tkachuk, was a huge trade for them. Mm-hmm. They hit on, I mean, the Zito, Bill Zito, their GM, hit on about three unreal trades, getting Bennett and Reinhardt for basically not a lot. They've hit a couple of free agents, and they had some really good, obviously Barkov draft picks, Lundell. They were big draft picks for them. I do like the way they play. I like the way that they don't care who they play. They play the same way, and I think that's the important part is creating that identity. So a tough team to play against, relentless pressure, and when they're on their game, their defense. And I'm big with that. I think you got to be a smoldering defense, play without the puck, protect the goalie, and then obviously when there's chances to go, you go and create. That's kind of my style. I mean, the Florida Panthers type of style. It's they're successful. It's what, like I said, 3 years in a row at the finals.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Rick, let's talk about style of coaching. So you played, initially here for Mike Keenan. For those on the younger side, if you don't know, I mean, Mike was. It was driving a hard bargain. Someone that I know told me that he knows you well said your style of play doesn't necessarily like I perceived you as an incredibly tough player. And I've been told by a few people that you used the term partnership in your press conference, that it's not nearly the Mike Keenan style. How would you describe your style of being the leader, but also encouraging others without maybe pushing them to the nth degree to get it done?
Yeah. I believe in the partnership nowadays. I believe that you have to explain, educate players, tell them reasons why, even the way, hey, we're, we're going to practice at this time, and we're doing this, and we're traveling at this time, and you know, the day off will be here. I think you have to explain and educate this generation. I think the players appreciate that. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to do. I like to communicate. I have a little bit of a head start over guys that haven't played. I'm not saying you can't be a great coach if you never played NHL, sure. But I've played every season. I've been on the fourth line. I've been on the first line. I've played in some pressure games. I've also sat out games. Healthy scratch nearly the end of my career. So I kind of know everybody's role. So talking to certain players, there's an experience that I've been in their shoes before. But I think the honesty and the communication with the player is huge, and I think that's something I've really, really paid attention to the last bunch of years. It's helped me be a better coach, and I think picking your staff, your assistants, sometimes you have to pick a guy that might be better at something than you. You can't be afraid as a head coach to get a guy. There might be an assistant coach out there that is better at me at something, and I welcome that. So. Those are the sort of things I think to be a good head coach, and you have to evolve every year. You can't be the same coach every year. You got to give players fresh ideas every year, and not be afraid to listen and outside the box thinking. I think that's huge too. You can't always do the same thing, so you just try to evolve as a coach and with today's player.
One thing that strikes me listening is you really emphasized, working with people, the relationships. It's no secret that the Flyers certainly have a lot of former Flyers right now in major roles, right? What do you view, because sometimes that can be viewed as a criticism, but what do you view as a positive of the fact that the people you're working with have been here, you know them, they know the city? Like, what are your early impressions of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be detractors. I mean, and anywhere you go, hiring an old Flyer against stuff. I understand that to a point, but the old Flyers were successful, and I'm not saying that automatically makes you know everything now. But I've been gone for 25 years or 28 years. I've been in other organizations. I've won a couple of cups with Pittsburgh as a player and assistant coach. So I've been other places, and so it's not like here's another old Flyer, and I'm proud to be an old Flyer. I'm proud to see Billy Barber and Bobby Clark around the rink yesterday and talking to them. I'm proud of those guys. They helped shape my career as a kid. I was 19 coming over the Walt Whitman Bridge, not knowing what Philadelphia, what kind of city was. I was scared to death, and this organization helped me become a man and really helped be a family with Mr. Snyder. And I see the same thing here, with Jonesy and Danny and Dan Hilferty and Brian Roberts. I mean, they're it's a family kind of atmosphere. I can tell. So, I'm looking forward to the challenge. I mean, listen, my when I went to Vancouver my first year, as I said, we want to meet pressure with pressure. So there's pressure here, and we want to meet it. I mean, you can't hide from pressure. Go find it. Same thing on the ice. If the pressure's there, go find it. Don't hide. So that's what we got to do.
No question. Rick, final thing here. You referenced Ed Snyder. Have you reflected in the last couple of weeks of how proud he would be of you becoming the Flyers head coach?
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, like I said, it shaped who I was. I mean, Mr. Snyder and the Flyers. And coming back here, just for the 2-3 weeks, talking to the Danny and Dan Hilferty and Joseph, I keep saying those guys because it is what they want to create here is something special, and it reminds me of back in the day. And obviously they want to do their own thing, but there is that family, atmosphere, and I think the players feed off that stuff. So, yeah, I think he'd be proud, and I wish I was here to thank him for what he's done for me.
Yeah. Well, Rick, we wish you obviously the absolute best of luck. Town's behind you. I will say, obviously, the town has been incredibly frustrated, in recent years because it's been a long time.
Sure.
Been a long time. But people are certainly very excited and hopeful for better days. And we wish you the absolute best of luck and look forward to talking to you from time to time. Good luck in the preparation for the season. And we'll talk to you when it gets closer. Thank you, Rick. Stay well and good luck, bud.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
Yep, thank you.
You got it. There he is, the head coach of the Flyers, Rick Tocchet. Good stuff right there. All right. So, look, I mean, he sounds dialed in, man.
Yeah.
Let's welcome Mr. Seltzer. Let's welcome Ruben Amaro to the program as we do. We love having Ruben on.
Ruben Amaro Jr. in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJTire.com.
See, Ruben, this is why it's good we don't have a Hard Knocks for here, because people would have seen me walking without the shoes. How are you, bud?
I'm great. What a weekend.
So, as great as you are, and you are, you know, rather great, Philly's greater. Best record
they're
in baseball.
They're even greater. Yeah, I mean, they're playing really good baseball.
They really are, man.
They're doing the things that we had hoped they would do, and they're doing them more consistently.
Do you feel greater because the Phillies are doing so great?
It certainly brightens my day.
I think I feel greater.
Yeah.
Much greater.
I mean, I wake up trying to make sure that I don't miss too many pitches, and when they're not playing great, I'm like, eh.
Right, that's so true.
It's very true.
Am I wrong? It's so true, man.
That's a true Philly fan.
That's not.
I'm fair weather.
But we are kind of calm. Like, there's a calmness. At least I feel a sense of more calm when I think about this Phillies team.
Well, so it's funny because I don't. I'll say this, Sean.
It smooths out. The undulations from high to low, but I think it's been smoothed out a little bit this year.
Well, here's what I'll say. My sense of this season, not from my perspective per se, but like the millions of people, is people are very quick triggered to get in a bad mood fast.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If they lose three in a row, I told you! They can't do it! This team stinks! They're not good enough! You see that swing in the dirt? Like, I think people get back there fast.
If they lose two out of three here to Atlanta, everybody's going to fall off the wagon.
You know what?
What's going to happen?
Here's what I'll tell you, Ruben. Here's the player. Here's the player. This Phillies team reminds me of the way people perceive them. Reminds me of Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison.
Like, wins a lot more than loses.
Yeah. Hasn't
won at all.
Was the best quarterback that I had ever seen up until
me too. No, he's still the best quarterback. But like to me, it's the way people could be quick triggered to turn on Donovan. Reminds me of how people can be quick trigger to turn on this Phillies team.
Yeah, it sounds fortunate, but that's sports, and that's what Philly sports is all about.
And it's also, I mean, they both have something in common. They both had chances to win it all and came up small in big spots.
Absolutely.
That lasts. You know, that correct. It's a shame, but it's what it is.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot of reaction, obviously, with the weekend, the first 2 months of the Philly season. We got Ruben with us for the next 3 hours. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville right now. What's happening, Ed?
Morning, team. Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning.
Hi, Ed.
Wait, well, Ruben gets his own.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this? What, Ed?
Well,
Ed, I mean, to him, yes, but to us.
How rude.
Come on, man.
It's a sum of the parts thing, Joe. You should take it as a compliment. good, successful weekend, these West Coast trips, and I'm just a fan watching on my own time. I don't have to compete in these things, but. I guess, you know, I was a little annoyed that there wasn't a game scheduled yesterday.
Ridiculous.
But
totally ridiculous.
These guys probably need a little bit of rest. So
take it on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I shouldn't be watching.
That's ridiculous.
I love that show.
No, make it a three-game series and give him Thursday off.
Are we in America?
I'm with you, Joe.
I mean, are we in America? How difficult it is to maneuver around a schedule for 30 teams to play 162 games.
All right, Rube, here's where I'm at. There's only 4 days I need the Phillies to play annually. Opening day, Memorial Day,
4th of July,
Labor Day. The only 4 days I require that they
and
play.
And they've been off on 4th of July recently, haven't they?
I think it was a year or two ago.
Dude, this every team should, every, it shouldn't just be the Phillies. Baseball should
Correct.
Have it that every team plays on those 4 days every year,
it's
period.
It's done by baseball.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? Hello, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I know we have no shot at getting him, but holy crap, is Mason Miller good. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he can cook, man. He blew away Bryce Harper. I think it was on Friday night, maybe. He's got some stuff.
And yet the Phils got to him 2 out of 3 times.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And his ERA is in like the mid-4s.
That's also exactly right.
So,
man, how about that Jacob
Wilson?
He hasn't pitched
in the East Coast in a pennant race all that much.
Yeah. Okay. Ed, give me an answer for a unique song.
REM, It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty unique.
It's pretty good.
Hey, Jacob Wilson's pretty awesome, too. The A's, they seem like they get some guys.
I saw Jacob Wilson play in the Arizona Fall League in the Fall Stars game that I had. I actually saw him at GCL before he was drafted. And I saw his dad there, and he was playing for a team in Arizona. I'm brain locking right now. Anyway, he was really good. I mean, he makes contact every single pitch, and he's the most jitteriest hands. He's got his hands moving, feet moving, all types of stuff going on, and he barrels. It's amazing.
It is
pretty,
amazing.
Pretty damn impressive, man.
All right, let's get to watch that kid. Let's talk to David right now. What's going on, David?
Nothing much. I just want to win the Phillies ticket.
Yeah.
The song that I was thinking is Walk Like an Egyptian, like this for the Bengals.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a unique song.
Very unique song.
Yeah, and then you pair it with the video, and it really worked.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we're getting some good answers here. 215-592-9494. Speaking of answers, wait till you hear this. So Gilly, you know, the Eagles guy, you know, the big Philadelphia sports fan, what he said to Paul George recently about all of our frustrations with the Sixers. He said it straight to Paul George's face. Wait till you hear this. We're going to get to that. Sirianni, some of what he said last week about preparing for a new season as the Eagles make the turn to an OTA today. More on the Phils, obviously, their weekend series, losing on Sunday, but generally playing some great ball lately. We'll get to that and more. Phone calls on all of these topics, and we get Ruben in studio for the next 3 hours. Show to Cameron, Jen Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. All right, baseball fans, look, we know the deal. You love the long ball. Everyone loves the long ball, unless you're the pitcher that gives up the long ball. And with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, where they're giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the MLB season. Obviously, today's a Tuesday. What does that mean? It means it's Dinger Tuesday. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, FanDuel customers can get a home run profit boost. That's right, a home run profit boost. That means when you bet on the moonshots, you can take your winnings to new height. Obviously, the local club has a big-time slugger who is often amongst the league leaders in home runs. You can bet with him today or others. Find the player or players that works for you and lock him in at FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer. It's Dinger Tuesday. You can go yard today. You can go yard all season long. Make every moment more with America's number one sports book. And again, sign up at FanDuel.com/hammer. You can also apply, you know, bets to pro basketball, hockey. Obviously, 4 teams left in both of those sports. Find the better bets that works for you and lock them in at FanDuel.com/hammer.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Wednesday at 3, we are lucky enough to be joined by one Larry Anderson, who every time he comes on, Phils win the night before now. So thanks for the win, LA.
Yeah.
Thank you for the win.
Are we going to make this a daily show?
Well, hey, I'm in if you are. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
If we won, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good record. Somebody call the Phils, call WIP Management. There has to be a way for us to work this out. So, big topic today. Bryce gets hit yesterday. Phils, no retaliation. If I assume you would have liked to have seen some sort of retaliation from the Phillies. Is that correct?
Yeah, at some point. It doesn't. When you play a team as many times as we play them, it doesn't have to be the next hitter. But I'd rather see it done right away, personally. But it's it's just the game's different. It's changed, and that's not part of the game anymore. I guess you don't have to protect your players anymore. Which I don't know. You used to try and protect your players as a pitcher, but now it's. I mean, as many times as we've been low-bridged, and I'm not saying you got to throw at somebody's head, but knock somebody down. Throw one in under their, under their armpit or something. Make them get out of the way. Make them move their feet. But, I mean, when you don't even – I mean, nobody even gets uncomfortable. It's just – I don't know. I just – maybe it's all now just a matter of opinion. It's, old school, which, they want to get rid of, versus – which I – old school means knowing baseball. That's all old school is. Old
That's
school
right.
is playing baseball the way it's meant to be played. Mm-hmm. And when people want to call it old school, it's just there's nothing analytical to say you can't do that or shouldn't do it or you should do it. Well, maybe analytics will probably say you can't hit shouldn't hit guys, but I don't know. I just don't agree with it.
That's
my opinion.
Yeah.
Nah, man, and you're more than entitled to it.
At the risk of sounding like a coward, and trust me, LA, one full hour of listeners calling me a coward for this, I'm used to it. Let me devil's advocate just for a second here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Braves, team 2-3 games under 500, had big expectations. They're maybe looking for like a spark, right? And the last thing I want to do with the Mets right on our tail and the Braves sort of underwater is give them any reason to rally behind anything. Is there a concern at all that you go back at them and then all of a sudden, like, maybe they win that game and then all of a sudden the Braves, I know it sounds like simplistic and it's more than this, but all of a sudden the Braves are feeling themselves a little bit and we've like woken them up. Like, there's a part of me that was just like, beat them, let them stay under 500, 10 games behind us, don't even worry about it. Does that enter your mind at all?
That's a valid point. It is. And I don't question it. And that's why I'm saying it doesn't have to be right away. but it's tough to do, especially in a 1-0 game where every base runner, could be the ball game. So in that situation, there were times when it didn't matter the situation. You protected your player, and especially one of your better players, or if not your best player, you protect them. And that's just the way it was. I mean, and again, I'm not saying you got to hit somebody in the neck or throw at their head. I'm saying, but you throw something inside and well off the plate, and if they don't want to move, they get hit. And if they want to move, okay. But at least you let them know, hey, we didn't appreciate that. And that's really as much as anything is saying, we're not going to allow you to keep doing that. And it's happened to a lot, not necessarily against the Braves, but other teams. Harper's been hit three times now in the last week.
Yep.
Bohm was getting low bridged earlier on. He wasn't really hitting that well at the time, but there was still pitches. And even if it's unintentional, it's like, well, then put somebody out there that knows where the ball's going.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the pitches that Strider threw to Harper, they were all around the plate except that one. It wasn't even close. And that's what I said when it happened. I said, that wasn't even close. I mean, he's got better command than that. and to me, and it very well could have been a case of saying, and I've done this before myself on a mound, saying, okay, I want to throw a fastball in. But if I miss, I'm going to miss in. So, and when you get that in your head, all of a sudden, you end up pulling the ball a foot further in than you planned on. But you're saying, I'm not going to leave it out over the plate. I'm going to make sure it's in. And maybe there wasn't any intent there. But when you think that, then you open yourself up to a chance to hit a guy. But if you're okay with that, then that's what you have to do. That's the way you have to think. Because you don't want to make a mistake to him out over the plate. So, that very well could be what happened. But, that ball was so far in that he had no chance to get out of the way of that. And for that, I just say, make Ozuna move his feet. Low bridge him one time. Make him go down. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do that, if they want to stand there and get hit, then they can wear it, and then it's done. But I don't know. I don't know what it's like down on the field anymore. I really think the game's lost me. It's passed me by.
No, game, we don't agree that
game hasn't lost you. It hasn't passed you by. I don't care how many numbers and metrics and analytics they come up with. The game is the game, and you know the game very well. And to the point you just made about Strider throwing that ball inside, there's nothing there that eliminates the possibility that he was sending a message. So if he's right. sending a message and he winds up hitting Bryce Harper, to me, whether he intended to do it or not, it's just as he may as well have intended to do it, because he's certainly sending a message throwing a high and inside like that with a fastball. And like I said, maybe he didn't want to hit him, but he certainly wanted him to back off the plate some.
Yeah, I mean, there's no – I don't think there's any question about that, Ike. And you know, we're not in his head, so we can't – I mean, I can't positively say he did it on purpose. And I don't know if he did. I really don't. But I know he – like you just said, he wanted that ball inside, and he was not going to leave it on a plate. And it's basically you're saying in your head. You're going, if I make a mistake and go too far and hit him, so what? So be it.
Yeah.
But, you know, does that mean he intended to hit him? No, but it meant that – he doesn't care if he hits him, which kind of is
yes.
close to the same thing.
Yeah, yes, I would agree
the
that.
Same thing.
Well,
yes.
Do you think, all right, so they don't do anything. Do you think Bryce Harper is sitting somewhere right. saying, throw at somebody?
What like, the bleep is going on
yeah,
here?
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Do you think he is part of, obviously you're just guessing, but do you think that he is affected or thinks about the fact that they did not, or at least have not retaliated?
I mean, as good as Harper is and as much as that hurt, I would think he would want somebody to back him up, to protect him there. I don't know. Krucky might have mentioned this on TV last night. Back when I was playing in 93, Hollins was getting hit right and left. And he finally said, and it really was what led to our brawl in spring training, because Hollins had said to our pitchers, to the five starters, he said, I got hit a ton last year. If I get hit again, I'm not, and nothing happens, I'm not going out to the mound. I'm going to come after one of you guys.
That sounds like something Hollins would say, by the way. Yeah.
Huh?
Sounds like something Hollins would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was serious, and if you knew Davey back then, you had to take him serious, and you better take him serious. And because if it happens, you're really going to be sorry. Yes. It's just not going to go well for you. And that it really led to the brawl. I believe it was Tommy Green that drilled I don't know, remember who it was, but it led to a brawl.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's it. I mean, you take care of your players. I would think Harper would be like, I think he would appreciate somebody saying, "Hey, I'm not going to let that happen to you. You're my guy. That's not going to happen."
Well, Hollins' nickname was Psycho, wasn't it? If I remember correctly, wasn't
Dave? He had a couple.
Yeah. On to the Phils, who keep on winning, by the way, which is excellent. I know this sounds crazy, but like, at what point can we start to compare this staff to the 2011 staff? Because, you know, it sounds nuts, but then you go, oh, Halladay, Wheeler, and then the way Lizardo's pitching and the way Sanchez continues to pitch, and even with Nola not even part of it, it just seems their top four right now, with Ranger looking this way, are as good as I can remember a top four ever looking for the Phils.
I think they're right there. I mean, they're right there with the 2011 team, with Halladay and Cliff Lee. I mean, that's Wheeler and Lizardo, righty lefty. I mean, it's very similar. And then you go down the line, it's like, you go, what, they have Hamels at that time, Roy Oswalt.
Yep.
We got, as you said, Ranger and Sanchez and Nola, when Nola's on track, when he's himself. I think he was really getting back to himself when his ankle thing happened. And that just, I think you can just toss out that game that he tried to pitch on it, because it's, I mean, it's still not right. So, you know, he was doing something different at that time when he got, you know, blown out.
But to his credit, kudos to him for trying to go out there and give him the innings. And But you look at that. Look at this rotation when he's healthy. And I mean, man, I don't know. I mean, you can certainly compare them, and I think everybody has a opinion of which one is better. I don't know if anybody could say which one is better definitively. I just don't. That's how good this rotation is. Outstanding right now, anyway.
And yeah. And last thing, LA, the talk about the rotation, but also Alvarado goes down, and Kirkering's been great. Romano seems to have found himself. Like, even the bullpen, see, Tanner Banks, I don't know, all year has looked, I don't expect much of him. He's not facing lefties. He's facing lefties. He's pretty good. I don't know. The bullpen, it does not look like the same weakness that it looked like
it was
a month or six weeks ago.
The season.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, too, is realizing, I think, in themselves, and then, not that they didn't do it before, but before it was like you had Alvarado. He was going to be your closer, or, you know, one of your closers, and it was kind of a safety net. So I think guys maybe got a little more relaxed.
Right.
And then he goes down, all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, everybody moves up a step. They're moved up, you know, closer to the back end of the bullpen, and it's like, man, I gotta bear down, and they've taken a bull by the horns and have done a terrific job. I mean, Strom's back, his velocity's back now, getting closer to where it was before. I think that's going to be a big difference. And so everybody's, you know, like you said, Kirkering's doing a nice job. Everybody's just picking it up and saying, this is what we got to do. This is where we're at, and we're not going to, you know, let Alvarado's situation hold us back any.
Yeah, and I can really see it with Romano now. I didn't see it at the beginning of the year, really, but he's been like, aside from the home run, was in Colorado? I forget where it was, in Sacramento.
Yeah, the Kurtz home run.
Yeah, he's looked unhittable, actually. Like, Romano has looked pretty lights out. So
he has, and I will say this, and not to make excuses, I don't like to make excuses for anybody, but I will make excuses for this, for that mound out there. Was everybody had a problem with it? It seemed to, you know, but. You know, it's hard to say anything because then you look like, oh, I'm making excuses. It's like, if it's bad, it's bad. And I was talking yesterday in the office, like Romano looked like out in Sacramento, like he was pitching on a trampoline. I mean, he was bouncing around forward, off to the side. It was all over the place. And when the mound, you're not comfortable on a mound, I can tell you, it makes a huge difference. And a lot of these guys just weren't comfortable on a mound. Fortunately, got through it, but you know, and that was the one kind of tough game for Jordan. That he just, but I blame it on the mound because he's come back and pitched great last night, threw the ball great, and I think confidence for all the guys down in the pen is making a big difference.
All right, LA. Well, we're going to keep up these wins. We expect them now out of you. So
you're like Carlton 72, pal. It's win day.
Yeah,
exactly. And if don't call me, you know, next week if we didn't win.
They do lose.
Yeah, you're out, buddy. If that happens, you're out. All right, LA. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are 99 days from kickoff. The first OTA visible to the media was today, and our guy, Go Birds podcast own Elliot Shore Parks, was there to see it. Elliot, how you feeling, brother?
What up? How you guys doing today? How you feeling?
Oh, man. We're doing great. We're doing great, Elliot. So
I'm
they moved
excited.
Every.
You guys excited?
What type of hoodie you got on there?
Yeah, what is that? Oh, it's a.
It's a hoodie. Yeah, it's a soccer thing. Don't worry
soccer,
about it.
I should have known. If I don't understand what it is, it has to be a damn soccer thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, it's nice to see Spike repping Jalen Hurts' company. I know that, you know, as a big fan of his.
Oh, Jordan Brand? Oh, yeah. That's
exactly.
Jalen's company?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right. Oh, boy. Boy, we're starting off hot, aren't you? So before we get to practice, Kevin Petullo talked today, really, for the first time. Some other players talked. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Petullo's first press conference?
Yeah, so I think if your concern is that Kevin Petullo is just an extension of Nick Sirianni and maybe isn't going to bring new, innovative ideas to the offense, I think this press conference probably didn't do anything to ease those concerns. But you could also hear from listening to him talk today, like you can tell him and Nick do have good chemistry. They have worked together for a really long time. He brought that up a lot. He said, you know, Nick Sirianni is one of his biggest offensive influences as like an offensive mind and as a coach. He said at one point, you know, his job isn't much different other than leading the offensive room now. You know, it's just a press conference. We saw with Nick Sirianni himself that the first press conference is not always a good indication of who a coach is going to be. And I don't think it was a bad press conference, but I also don't know if he did anything to alleviate the concern that he's just an extension of Nick Sirianni as opposed to someone that is going to have fresh ideas for an offense that might need it next year.
You know, my guess would be the last thing he wants to do is have one of his quotes lead a headline in his press conference.
100%.
You know, the one thing that struck me about him, he did seem confident and calm the entire press conference. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't searching for words. He looked like a pro up there to me. And I think if I'm Kevin Petullo, my goal for my first press conference is nobody has anything to say about anything. And I think that's probably what he accomplished.
And to your point, he was not going to get up there and say, well, Kellen Moore liked to do this and I'm going to do that. Or Nick does this. And like, he was never going to give those type of details out. So I agree with you. Having been around Kevin Petullo since he's been here, like he is a confident, impressive guy. And the success speaks for itself of what he's had with Nick Sirianni. My biggest concern about this team, maybe overall, is are they going to be able to have a counterpunch ready when the league has spent all offseason preparing for him? And Kevin Petullo is a big part of that. Like, he's the guy in that job. So that's not something we'll get an answer to for, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season. And I just think today he sounded like a guy that's always worked with Nick and that believes a lot of what Nick believes.
Yeah. You know what? I'm interested and excited to see what this new coaching sort of combination brings. And you might as well throw Jalen into the combination as well, because I'm sure he'll have input on what he likes to run, what he prefers to run, what works best for him. You want to put a quarterback in a situation where he feels comfortable in doing things that he likes to do, because quite frankly, when he's out there on the field, he's the extension of the coach. And in fear of sounding like OG Wade, when he's talking about Jalen, this is one area where he is correct, that is that Jalen controls a lot of what happens with the offense on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Saquon Barkley runs.
Yep.
Like when he checks to a run play or he gets them out of a certain play, that's Jalen sort of orchestrating. They may give him a check with me, or they give him two plays where he can run this or run that, but a lot of it is him and what he sees out there. And this is why I wanted continuity, because while I believe Kellen Moore was an asset to some degree last year, I'm not so sure bringing in someone who hadn't been here, because at least with Brian Johnson had been here with Shane Steichen, with Nick Sirianni, with Kevin Petullo. Like, they had all been here. And I'm not saying the offense is running great every week, but it almost seems to me that there may have been too much there for Jalen to sort of digest and dissect early in the season. And that was the Kellen Moore effect on the offense. Remember, everybody wanted motion, pre-snap, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was just too much stuff to have in. I don't know. But bringing Petullo here, at least he's been here with Jalen for 4 years. So he should have a good idea of the good and the bad of what Jalen likes. And that's why I wanted the continuity. I'm excited about this, Elliot. Get excited. Get everyone else excited too, Elliot.
Well, the way you just talked about the play calling, I think is the correct way to talk about it. And I would say, like, it's almost like the play call that comes in is a suggestion to Jalen. Like, here's what we would run. But once you see the defense and you, like, then Jalen checks quite a bit. He audibles quite a bit. Like, he runs what he wants to run. I think the concern for me with Kevin Petullo in the role he is it's going to be about not so much like the play calling and the play design to an extent. Like, they got to have answers to give Jalen out there on the field. Like, I think in 2023, Jalen didn't always – now, I think he held the most of the blame for the blitz thing, but it is also true that I don't know if they did the best job giving him simple answers against the blitz to get into if he needed to. And I think that's what that's where my concern is if they're presented with a new problem but have the same minds working on it, are they going to have a fresh fresh set of ideas to fix that problem. Because the play calling thing, Jalen audibles and checks so much, that's not really a concern. They have a ton of talent. They'll make plays. It's more like when there is a problem out there on the field, are they going to be able to solve it? And that's the concern for me.
Anybody else today of speak of note? Anybody say anything of interest that you heard talk today?
Yeah, so Dallas Goedert talked for the first time since you know, his offseason. And, you know, credit to Dallas. I think he was very, very honest about what the situation was like for him. He said there were times where he would just sit there on the couch and, you know, just think about the fact that his time with the Eagles could be over. He talked about the possibility of being released, of being traded, you know, where there were times his agent would call and he was expecting a call back, essentially saying, like, it's over, right? But that didn't happen. He said he wanted to be back in Philadelphia. He said that, you know, the number he signed for, he thinks represents his desire to be back in Philadelphia. And, you know, I asked him, does he view this as a one-year deal or does he view this as, you know, he can still be an Eagle for life? And I think he kind of hedged on that question a little bit, but basically said, I have an agent. We'll see what happens next year. So I don't think it was the best or like most harmonious process when it happened, but being around Dallas now, and I think they're in a good place now for this season.
OTAs, the first practices that you could watch started today. So this was voluntary. Players didn't have to go. Was there anybody Correct. Of note that was not there today?
Yeah, so Devontae wasn't there, Lane wasn't there, Landon Dickerson wasn't there. A.J. Brown was there but didn't really practice, or at least didn't do team drills. Cam Jurgens was there but didn't practice. N'Kobe Dean and Jahad Campbell were in the facility, but they left and went into the main building right before practice, so they weren't in the bubble for practice. The most noteworthy one might have been Bryce Huff. Like, Bryce Huff wasn't there. You know, you wonder, you know, June 1st coming up, maybe that's something where maybe something happens there in terms of a trade or a release. Now, I don't know if he's been there other days, and maybe just the day the media was there, he happened not to be there. But considering the season he had, like, he's probably not one of the people you would want to see missing OTAs.
Yeah, I would
imagine.
If he had another,
I don't even know. Never mind.
Well, if he had another, what's the word I'm looking for? Another commitment, he should probably cancel that other commitment and go to.
Yeah, I was gonna say it had to be pretty important.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, something. It's not, yeah, you know, who knows? Personal, right? But yeah, he was not there.
It was actually, I think it was your video that I saw of N'Kobe Dean just like walking in shorts and a jersey. I was actually happy to just see N'Kobe Dean walking normally. The way they painted that injury, like I actually didn't think I would just see N'Kobe Dean walking around, you know, into the facility as if he was going to practice at this point. So I took that as a positive sign for N'Kobe, actually.
Yeah, he didn't have a brace on. He wasn't, you know, using a crutch or anything like that. I will say, watching the linebackers today before we get into some of the other positions, like, so it was Zach Bond and Jeremiah Tirado Jr. out there with the first team. But a name to keep an eye on, we talked about him a little bit, I think, yesterday, Smile Mondin Jr. out of Georgia. He was like Zach Bond's shadow at practice today. Everything Bond was doing, Mondin was like right behind him, mimicking him. You almost wonder if the Eagles have told him, like, hey, follow Zach Bond around and do what he does, because he was there. And just athletically, like, today was a good chance to get just eyes on the rookies, you know, who's big, who's small, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And Smile Mondin Jr. definitely passed the eye test as a linebacker. Like, you can see the speed. He has good size, and, you know, people talk a lot about his football IQ. So he's a name to keep an eye on, because if N'Kobe's not ready, they move Jahad around, you wonder if Smile could end up winning that job.
So let's go through the positions that we have questions about, and you tell us who the starter was. At the cornerback on the other side of Quinyon Mitchell, so CB2.
Yeah.
Who was at CB2?
So two notes on that. First, when they were in base defense, so only two corners on the field, it was Cooper and Quinyon. And so I think that's worth noting. Like, Cooper is going to play some outside corner this year. He talked after practice how he did it in college, but it is a challenge, and you'll have to learn to do it. So it looks like Quinyon and Cooper will be out on the field for every snap this year. Now, when they went to nickel, that's where the competition begins. And to start practice, I was really surprised at this. It was Adoree Jackson out there in 7-on-7s with the first team defense. Wow. When they went to 11-on-11, that's when Keeley was out there with the first team defense. So my biggest takeaway from today is that is a legit competition. This isn't Keeley's job to lose.
Splitting the reps.
Yeah, they're splitting the reps. I thought that Keeley would take all the first team reps today. Obviously, I was wrong about that, but I was surprised they split the way they did. So we'll be out there next week and get to see him practice. We'll see what it looks like then. But it is clear that is a competition between those two.
And by the way, it should be.
I agree.
Yeah, listen, I like Keeley Ringo. Keeley Ringo has never been a starter in this league for 17 weeks, so I don't know what he can do out there. And quite frankly, anything Vic Fangio does is the correct thing to do.
That's the truth.
So I'm going to just leave it at that. If he thinks competition is best, and it usually does bring the best out of players when you know something isn't just being given to you, that just because you have one good day of practice doesn't mean you can rest on your laurels. You got to go back out there and do it again. I love the fact that Coach Fangio is creating that type of environment to where these guys feel like, hey, I got a shot to be the starter too. And so, yeah, and that should bring the best out of all these guys.
All right, how about safety?
Man, the safety position, I've covered a lot of training camp battles, a lot of like positions that are loaded. I don't know if I've ever seen a position like this where there is like six or seven legit guys that have an argument to make the roster. So Reed Blankenship was not out there today, and they did more shifting around at safety than any other position. To start the day, it was Sidney Brown and Andrew Makuba. Makuba being out there was surprising considering he's a rookie getting first team reps. They put Lewis Cine in there. They put Tristan McCollum in there. They put Andre Sam in there, who had one of the nicer pass breakups of the day. I know Christian Parker, the defensive back coach, really likes him. Max and Hook out of Toledo got some reps out there. Like, they have some decision-making to do at safety. And this isn't even mentioning the possibility that we've talked about with Justin Simmons. So that is a loaded position now.
Well, he won't be a possibility if these guys do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Justin Simmons won't be here.
And I a lot of them are going to have to fail. And to be clear, they could. Like, none of those names I just said are proven NFL players. So while it is a position that's loaded with decisions and bodies, it's not a position that's loaded with proven talent that you can count on. So it's possible that Tristan McCollum, Andre Sam, Sidney Brown, Makuba, like, it's very possible at the end of OTAs, they're like, yeah, these guys aren't ready. But it was just noteworthy how much shuffling they did there and how open that battle is. You figure they'll keep four, maybe five safeties on the roster. And so there could be a good player or two players that get cut from this team at safety.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And how about right guard? Now, you said a lot of you said Landon Dickerson wasn't there. Cam Jurgens was not playing. But was it Steen or was it, the name of the new kid?
What is his name?
Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green. So who was out there?
Yeah. So Tyler Steen was with the first team offensive line. While a lot of people weren't there, like you said, it doesn't really impact his spot. Like,
right.
Him and Kenyon Green were there. So he was with the first team offensive line today. I'll be interested to see when we're out there next week if he is back there again. But I think of all the battles we're talking about, you know, I could see a world where his job might be the most secure of all of them. Like, safety, there's a lot of questions. Keeley and Adoree, I think, is a legitimate competition. Linebacker, there's injury concerns. Tyler Steen, like, was going to be the starter last year until Makai took the job. He played well last year when he went in. And Kenyon has a lot to prove. So I don't think he's a lock to be the starter or anything like that. But I do feel like it's probably more his job to lose than these other battles we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. We saved the most important one for last. What everybody wants to know, our quarterback, How did Kyle McCord look?
Only one for one. Only one for one.
There you go. Perfect. Kyle McCord, perfect.
He did have the highest completion percentage of all the quarterbacks.
There you go. So there you go.
Step in the right direction.
For my guy. How'd Jalen look?
No, he looked awesome. I mean, he was 20 of 21, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked a lot like he did in training camp last year. A lot of
check downs.
I don't
think he deep passes.
Jack's on the call now.
No passes completed over 20 yards or plus in the last 9 weeks of last year.
Yeah. But if he plays the style of football he played today, he'll probably be Super Bowl MVP again. So
there you go.
A productive style of football. No, he didn't really do anything special out there today. No real passing attempts that were risky. No special throws. His best throw was probably to Goddard for about a 12-yard completion. Hit Goddard in stride. Goddard had 5 catches today with AJ and Devontae not there. So yeah, 20 of 21. Pretty good. I gave him a B+.
Now, this is sort of just a throwaway question, only because I saw his profile picture yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got to admit, it's almost like taking a blue chew. A.J. Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Dillon.
Dude, let me tell you.
My goodness. Let me tell you. My goodness.
He's watching a big fella.
I mean, running. The size of this dude.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And by the way, he seems, by his social media, he seems very excited.
Seems like a nice guy,
Seems to enjoy being
here. What did that dude look like out there?
So I will say A.J. Dillon running into open field was probably the biggest moment of practice where it was like it caught my attention. Right. Yeah. Other than that, there wasn't a ton of like crazy plays or anything like that.
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon caught a screen pass and started to run. And my thought was, he looks awful to try to tackle. Like it was like LeGarrette Blount.
Yes.
Like faster. So, I mean, for him, just the fact he's healthy, obviously, you know, is a big part of it. He was the third running back today. Will Shipley, I think, had a better practice than A.J. Dillon.
Sure.
But just physically, they have not had a running back like that. I mean, obviously Saquon, but just like LeGarrette Blount was my similarity watching him in the open field. His combination of speed and just size and all types of other words you could.
Yeah. So you got excited like I did. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Don't worry.
Hardest wood I have ever touched.
Now, Elliot, I saw a lot of beat writers around the league today. Noticed an uptick in the amount of quarterback stats.
Yeah.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. Would you say that you are the most influential beat writer that this city has ever seen?
I mean, it's hard to argue. You consider. There's been a lot of greats. I'm lucky.
Interesting.
A lot of greats.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every single beat writer across America is doing what I do. So I don't. I mean, that I'd call that influential.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, I don't know if you passed up Rube yet, man.
More influential than Rube? What do you think?
Rube's a goat.
Yeah, Rube and Frank, man. Nah, Rube,
Yeah. Rube's great with stats. I agree. Now, other people do stats, you know. But, like, it is. No, I'm just.
Ooh, boy.
And it's intercepted by Ike Race.
There it is.
But
guys like to be stroked.
Here's what I would say. What this means is I challenge any beat reporter out there for another team to track their quarterback throwing a better franchise record than Jalen Hurts with consecutive completions without an interception. I'll write this down as what it is, which is probably an NFL record for consecutive passes without an interception.
Wow.
So we can get that to where it belongs.
Yeah, I saw your buddy Connor Hughes. So Connor Hughes covers the Jets and Giants. And I saw him have all the quarterback stats.
The quarterback stats.
Now, I know him and Elliot are buddies. And I'm like, wow, he just took the page.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually, I saw a tweet from Connor that said, wow, I really got to say, Jackson Dart has aura out there. And I was like, he's Elliot. He's just taking Elliot's entire playbook.
Well, you know what's so funny about that? I texted Connor last week and I was like, just so you know, Jackson Dart has franchise swag.
So, oh, you told him.
That's me once again influencing the other beat writers. You know?
Wow.
Hey, listen, we both said that on draft night. We saw his fit, man. He has franchise swag. He does.
He might be terrible. Who knows? But he certainly has franchise.
But at least he's got swag. Yep. At least he's got swag.
Well, exactly right.
Well, Elliot is in his element right now.
He is.
And if there's ever a time to subscribe to the Go Birds podcast, it is now. You'll get updates every single day. You can subscribe in your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Great job out there, Elliot. Great job.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
There he is. Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah. I think everybody's, all the beat writers, not all of them, but like a lot of them are stealing his bit now. The imitation, the most sincere form of flattery?
No, listen, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt
clicks.
About it.
Everyone needs clicks.
Well, well, here's the thing that he figured out before a lot of other people figured out. Is that we were going into an age where people want to know this stuff.
Right.
So we didn't even know that we wanted to know this stuff. But what else are you going to cover in training camp?
Well, that is my...
Like, what else are you going to... The quarterback is always the most important guy to cover in training camp.
And it's like, you can always say, well, it's only training camp. Well, who cares? That's
the
point.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, also, we know. We know.
Yeah, we know it's training camp.
That was my biggest problem. Now that Elliot's not on, I can rip the other reporters.
Right.
Well, that's my problem with all the Big J journos being like, what does that mean?
Right,
I was like, what does that mean? I don't know. I can't be there.
Right.
I can't watch.
Yep.
He's telling me what happens at the thing that I can't watch. And if... That's what I thought your job was, you know?
Unless so making you have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. Yeah, we want to know what the hell our quarterback is doing at every practice.
Yes, of course.
Yes, we want to know if he threw three interceptions that day.
Yes, come on. Now, does Elliott take it to another level? He does.
He does.
Does he make defending him hard? He does.
He does.
He does. But we love him.
Yes.
And he is a trailblazer.
Dude. I didn't feel this way when he first started doing this. I mocked him too.
Yes, and then
yes, he's convinced me. So he's worked his magic.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's worked his magic. Real quick.
Yeah.
I need AJ Dillon to be healthy this year.
Oh yeah.
I just need the combination of that's a nice trio there.
Oh, it's thunder and lightning right there.
Oh man, he throw a little bit of we got a little bit of exciting white in there too, man.
Oh wow.
Forget about my boy Will Smith.
So it's thunder, lightning, and
Will
snow.
Smith. Yep. Will Shipley.
Will Shipley.
Your boy.
Yep.
Yeah, Will Shipley, man. Come on, man.
All right. We will get back to the Bryce Harper getting hit issue. Are you a big, tough guy who wants to hit a Brave? Give the other team a base runner? Wow, you really proved your point. Or are you smart like me and understand that the goal is to get the other team out, not put them on base? 215-592-9494. We will also get you the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. You know, we may have to alter what we have here based on Elliot's report.
Okay.
I don't know.
Does Elliot belong on the Time magazine? Most influential people?
I think he does.
I think so.
I think he does.
Right with Jalen.
I put Elliot over Jalen. I actually do believe that Elliot is more influential than Jalen.
How about a Twitter poll on that?
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
I'm sure Elliot would appreciate that.
I do. That puts him in a tough spot.
Of course it does.
Yeah. Yep. Elliot more influential than Jalen. All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Yes, it is that time of the week. A Fransky Friday. We'll talk to Scott coming up in a few minutes here on the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Twitter question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and scales your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. So our first poll today revolved around the idea of bringing Rhys Hoskins back to the Phillies. Do you want him? Yes or no? 53% saying no. This is a shame. 53% of people don't want that bat back in the lineup. 53% of people today are on Hugh Douglas' side of this. I consider it a shame. You could consider it your heater because you hit a parlay yesterday.
Well, I was about to say it's probably because of that four-legger.
Oh, they heard that.
They heard it. Like, this guy right here.
So what else did you have in your parlay? I had a tennis match.
I had the Phillies money line.
Okay, in the first game. Obviously.
First game. Because you know what's funny? As I was doing my parlay, I did like both games.
You would have lost then.
Yeah. And so I said, well, you know what? Let me just do this. Let me just focus on the first game. Because I knew my day was going to be a little hectic because I wasn't going to be able to pay attention to the second one.
Sure.
So I said, okay, I did that. The Kyle Schwarber home run. Mm. Kyle Schwarber hit. You know, that was an easy one right there. And then Francisco came with the tennis parlay. He came with the fourth leg.
So I don't know. You know, I know you were busy yesterday. Had a meeting after the show, but you had to be. That money line almost fell apart in the ninth inning. Romano lowered the bases.
You know what? I didn't sweat.
Nail biter.
I didn't sweat it. I didn't sweat it.
Oh, come on.
Because initially when I did the four-legger, I was like, you know what? Because Francisco was so adamant about me putting that leg of the tennis in, I didn't know how, you know, it was going to play out. But it started well because that was the one Francisco gave me. That was the one that hit almost immediately. And then, you know, I sweated a little bit with the Schwarber one. But then it came, yeah, it worked out for
me. All right, you ready to humble yourself? We have company here. You can't be bragging about your parlay. Your parlay's hitting. Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm great. $8 is $8, man.
I'm trying to, hey, Scott, they don't understand. You know, it's these young cats, man. They don't understand $8 is a lot when you get a little bit, you know, mature. Yeah. Mature in your day.
Well, a lot is, again, a relative situation, but it is $8 you didn't have the day before.
Truthfully, that's all that matters. But, Scott, here's a question I have for you. How do you feel the Phillies handled the whole being a Brave situation? Because that's what we were championing the cause yesterday to being a Brave. And obviously the Phillies didn't do that. I mean, where do you stand when it comes to stuff like that? Do you think there's some cause for retaliation to just go out and play baseball?
Well, I do think if there's a sort of a pattern of that kind of stuff, and I got to be honest, I hadn't seen it a whole lot with the Braves. You know, I know Harper got hit a couple of times the other night in Sacramento. Obviously, I mean, I just don't think Strider's got any intent to hit him there. I do think he's trying to pitch inside, and I think, you know, it's okay to pitch inside and make guys wary and let them know you're out there and make them move their feet in the box. And but it's honestly, it's a different game. It just doesn't happen like it used to. You just don't see that kind of stuff. And everybody's mindful of it. Everybody's watching for it. The umpires are watching for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a situation where I'm just like, you know, bloodthirsty and I need somebody to go down. Because again, I don't think there was a whole lot of intent there. There are other situations where you feel like there is intent and it's definitely worth an answer back. But I wasn't convinced that was one of those spots.
Scott, I saw the Strider hit by pitch similar to yours. I didn't think he was trying to hit Harper. He did, and I thought he was trying to obviously pitch inside and maybe back him up off the plate. Scott, if it continues, though, if pitchers continue to go up and in on the Phillies, maybe just try to back them off the plate, and we get a few more hit by pitches, do you think at some point the Phillies have to kind of send a message back like, hey, let's be careful here with our guys? Because, you know, unfortunately, those go the wrong way, and then, you know, we lose someone for a month or two or three because someone, you know, breaks a bone.
Sure. You know, again, I don't know if it's a huge deterrent, say, to face retaliation. I mean, you know, once upon a time, if a pitcher did that, a pitcher was going to wear it, right? He was going to feel it. And I think there was a little more hesitancy then to pick your spots and pick your battles. But now that's not the case. A pitcher doesn't have to stand in the box. Now, pitcher's got to take the rip. He's got to take the suspension, which would be coming. I believe that, and I think that's also a consideration as well. But, you know, I think if it's a pattern and guys are coming inside, I think as much as anything, just to stand up for your teammates and say, all right, well, we can play that game too. I do think there's a time and a place for that kind of thing in the game still. You know, again, we don't see it as much as we used to. That's for sure, but I do think there's still a time and a place for it.
Scott Fransky with us here, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, no matter what who they're playing and what they're doing and what the other storylines are, the Phillies seem to win series over and over and over. It's 9 out of 10 now. This is really a long, extended run of really good baseball from the Phillies. It's not just that winning streak they had there. It feels like they've been playing well for probably the better part of 6 weeks now. It's a great run, Scott, they're on, and they've been on it for a while.
They have. Obviously, this is coming right on the heels of that series in New York. And I think I think I've said it before, but I think it woke some guys up. It was definitely not a situation where they came out of there and said to themselves, oh, well, it's April, right? They came out of there and said, it's April. We need to get going. These games count. These games all count. And we need to get it together. And I do think they came out of there with a little bit of renewed purpose. And again, I think any team, regardless of how good they are, they face adversity somewhere over the course of the season. And it's how they respond to that. And I think we could all be happy with the fact that they've responded so well to that particular bit of adversity. There's going to be more. they're going to come through it again. They're going to have struggles. They're going to have, you know, down weeks or a couple of weeks where things aren't going well, and it's how they respond to those moments that make the difference between, you know, a winning team and you know, maybe just an average team or an elite team. It's how they handle those moments of adversity, and I think they've handled that first. I mean, for me, that was the first big, you know, mile marker in the season to go there against your division rivals and get beat up the way they did. And I think it's really encouraging to see the way they've responded since then.
You know, Scott, speaking of that, the team is 36-20. They're playing well, but like any team in a situation like this, everybody has warts. So when we look at this team, and we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks, we know that the bullpen needs a little bit of help, and it would be nice to have another bat in that starting lineup. So if you were the GM or you were Topper, and if you had a choice to fix which one, and you think which one needs the fix immediately, which one would that be? Would that be the bullpen, or would that be get another bat in here?
Well, I think if I could only make one move, is that what you're saying?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, I think I would shore up the bullpen because I think there are less internal options that have upside.
Mm-hmm.
I think offensively there's guys that have underperformed, and whether you think they will come through or not is a different question. But you do have some guys internally, Boehm, Castellanos, you know, that are on the roster now, Boehm, Castellanos, JT, guys, you know, for primarily right-handed bats who haven't hit for power the way they're hoping for. They haven't hit, you know, enough doubles. They haven't hit enough homers. They haven't driven in enough runs. And I think it's those guys that you think, all right, well, if they can bounce back to something closer to their career norms, then we're going to be better off offensively. Now, the flip side of that is I just don't see that with the bullpen guys. I mean, there are some guys who could pitch better, there's no doubt. But are they sort of the elite late-inning relievers that you're looking for? So I think if there's a deal to be made and you can go out there and get a guy who is a true elite late-inning reliever, that's the move you should probably be focused on.
Scott, I want to ask you about Jordan Romano. You talk about guys that could be better, and he certainly has been better, you know, and the whole bullpen really has been better the month of May. But Romano has been better than he was early in the season. Yet, I still don't know what I'm getting with him. Like, some nights he goes out there, and he looks really sharp, and he gets a lot of swings and misses, and it looks easy. And then there's days like yesterday where he really, I mean, they were close to losing that game. I mean, I don't even know if that last strike was actually a strike. I mean, he was all over the place yesterday. When you watch Romano, what are you noticing? Certainly been better, but I still feel like I'm not sure which guy I'm getting every time he goes out there.
Yeah, I do think he's still trying to find a little bit more consistency. He was really, really good there for 7 or 8, 9 outings in a row. You know, on the heels of a really bad day against Miami that day at home, which didn't cost him the game ultimately. But then he had the day in Sacramento where I think clearly the mound was an issue and it got in his head and he got all kind of sideways. And then this week, right, he looks unbelievable Tuesday night and he looked like a different guy yesterday. So I think he's still in that mode of searching, finding, trying to find some consistency. I think when his velo is up, when he's not being overused, when his velo's up, I think he's better off. I think we've seen those nights when he performs a little better. But he's a guy that I do think has more in the tank, has more upside there. And they're going to need it because obviously without Alvarado for the foreseeable future, somebody's got to be the guy to lock it down. And you know, Matt Strom has had his struggles. And right now, Romano and Kirkering are the closest things you have to the end of the game guys. Even with some inconsistency there, it's kind of something they're having to live with.
Yeah, it is. And it's working out for now. And the bullpen certainly has been better. And they won that first game really close yesterday with the save by Romano. Scott, we appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend.
As always.
And we'll be listening against the Brewers. Thank you, Scott.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.